This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends, and you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh, if I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question, Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to Love Song for a Savior by Jars of Clay, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Yeah, I'm a kid Diego. Hard.
Consider the source.
Hey.
God, consider the source.
It's me.
Everything.
It's me.
Consider the source.
I'm a fan of my mom.
Consider the source.
Stop it, correct.
How dare you? Who in the hell do you think you are? Abusing a woman. Neglecting a woman, being a coward, a fool, being like your father, Adam. Who do you think you are?
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And who do you think you are, Caroline?
I'm not someone that wants to mess with Mark Driscoll.
Okay, we're here to have Good Christian Fun. That was, of course, an old-ass clip of Mark Driscoll.
Kevin, you know what's so funny about the theme song? Is that for the guest and I, it kind of goes in and out. So we'll be kind of hearing him muted, and then you'll just hear like, yeah, I'm a kippy, yay! But you're like kind of bopping along the whole time, and we're both like, huh?
Oh, man, I got to figure out how to fix that.
It's kind of a joy.
Year anyway, two of pandemic, I'm going to fix that audio issue.
I can't wait. Yes.
Yeah.
But you were going to talk about Mark Driscoll.
I mean, just for a sec. We unearthed the audio. It's very funny. He's a very angry man. And I'll always remember, how dare you, for the rest of my
life.
That's
stuck in your mind, right?
Yeah, he made a diff. Those that may not know, he was an evangelical leader. I mean, still is, basically. Mars Hill Church. Was disgraced, was too big of a dick, moved to Trinity Grace Church in Arizona, Scottsdale, doing the whole thing again. Very right wing, very nasty, not cool. Google him. It's very fun. Jars of Clay. That was one of our first topics that we ever did on the show. Episode 6, way back in 2017, a presidential term ago. It was 4 years ago.
I do remember from that, though, that we came off very pro-JOC.
Oh, we love JOC. We love JOC. It's all about JOC, as we've talked about many, many times.
About jocking off.
On this show. But to talk about them this time, we may need the assistance and the help of a very special guest. Friends, And folks, he is a novelist, he's a journalist, he's a screenwriter, and his debut novel, Yes Daddy, is out now. Give it the hell up for Jonathan Parks Ramage! He's flying in from the rafters on a cloud in a haze. Look at him go! Wow! All of your interviews have gone like this today, right?
Every single one. I prefer pounding Christian contemporary pop songs under every single introduction. It's actually my writer, and I request it.
Yeah, pounding. I appreciate the verb pounding. It,
but maybe you can hear the fog machine also that is working right now.
I can hear the whir of the fog machine.
Okay, good.
But pounding Christian music. I must have it.
Yes, we love it, and we love to see it, and we love to hear it. Amy Grant, was that a mainstay in the Parks Ramage household growing up?
Baby, baby. Yes,
okay. Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. Hey. I like this kind of crooner version of Baby, Baby. It's like a little more chilled out.
My baritone version of Baby, Baby. No, but I do actually, not to like jump straight to plugging my novel, but there is an Amy Grant reference.
Is that true? Novel.
I'm dead serious.
Yeah. Would it be a spoiler to share?
It would not. I mean, I will just say that the main character in this book comes from an evangelical background.
Okay.
And
lucky.
It actually ends with our JOC theme. Lucky LOL. Yeah, no, but there's it's a formative Amy Grant moment.
Oh my gosh. Okay, great.
Okay. I will say I'm not afraid to spoil this. The book is a murder mystery. It turns out it was Amy Grant. She's the killer, which I really didn't see coming. It wasn't set up at all in the beginning of the novel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Amy Grant is the murderer.
Stabby,
oh
stabby. God. That's the song she sings.
I'm going to ruin that for all of my fucking readers. I'm so disappointed.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. The book is out now. Yes, Daddy. A book tailor-made for me in some ways, it sounds
like. Oh my God,
like.
I could have called it No, Amy, No.
No, Amy.
We need to talk about Amy.
We do need to
talk about Amy. Oh my God, we need to talk about Amy. Always. No, everyone should talk about Amy.
Yeah, no.
I think, no. I mean, Baby Baby still slaps, in my opinion.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
She's got some bangers under her belt.
Well, you watched A Week Away, the little camp movie where they redid it with a young man singing the song.
Oh my God, the most chaste yet highly sexualized Jesus Camp High School Musical I've ever seen in my life. But yes, they're revitalizing it for the children. Rebrainwashing them into liking old. I'm just like, why don't you just write some new songs, actually? I was very curious.
They wrote like four, but I don't remember any of them in the movie.
Yeah, neither do I.
That's the thing. When you mix jukebox with original, what do you get? You just remember the covers. That's all that happens, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Yeah, and from just like a specific range in time, too, all the covers. There was nothing recent. Nothing even like extremely old, just that one little, that sweet spot.
One little pocket.
I wonder if it was like a paid sponsorship by Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant.
Wait, you think this was big Nashville buying a spot in the Netflix movie?
I smell a deal. I smell
oh
a
my
deal.
God. I also couldn't understand how Sherry Shepherd washed up on the shores of A Week Away. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like she like had a moment. She was on 30 Rock. She's so funny.
Yeah.
But now I'm also remembering that she's maybe a flat earther and it's actually starting.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Her and Millie Bobby Brown, flat earther.
Oh my God. Wait, Millie Bobby Brown is a flat earther?
Yeah. There was like an Instagram story a while ago where she's like, I'm, how do you say, what's it called? A flat earther? Someone fact check me on this, but I believe it's.
Oh, maybe that's like a Britishism. It was, you know.
Oh my God.
Maybe
we don't understand.
You're right. Oh, we take the lift and don't believe in science.
That's a very generous read, Caroline, and I want to believe that that's true. And I hope it is for the sake of all those Stranger Things.
Oh my God, a week away too. Millie Bobby Brown plays a counselor.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
Stranger Things, week away mashup.
She already looks like 30 now. By the time that show comes back, they're going to be in grad school. Those children in Atlanta.
Doing a second career.
Will be like having children of their own. They're going to be paying their mortgages if they're not already. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So much to talk about, so much to discuss, but as per usual, and I know you've been talking about yourself all day, but maybe you haven't done it in this sort of cool environment that we're in.
I haven't.
We're like, you can say like cusses if you want to.
GCF style.
You can say S and F and GD and effing and MF and whatever you want.
I'm so excited.
I would love to hear about your history with particularly religion and faith and stuff. I know you got a little bit of it in your own family.
I do, honey. I am a PK. Mm-hmm. For those of you listening.
The elite.
Yes. Who don't know what that stands for. It stands for preacher's kid. But I feel like everyone listening to this will know what a PK is.
I think most people know what a PK is because of KP. And that's Katy Perry. KP the PK. To me, she's like the ultimate, like, most famous PK of all time is KP, right?
She probably came up with that phrase herself. Actually.
Yeah, she probably
was a pioneer.
Oh my God. She is a true representation matters when it comes to PKs, and she's out here. I mean, I didn't love Bon Appetit, baby, but for the most part, I'm here for Katy Perry. I don't know, her journey.
Harley's in Hawaii.
I don't know if she's good representation for her because there have been some ups and downs. But I mean, for the most part, I think I can be here. I'm not a Katy Perry stan, but I also understand where she comes from. And I do like that recent song where she just screams about daisies. Don't know if you've heard it.
It's it goes, daisies! It's one of my favorite songs I've ever heard. I was actually...
That's literally it.
I wasn't fully on board until the Pikachu collab, and I think seeing her through his eyes made me appreciate her music, because she did...
Pikachu's eyes.
Did y'all see this, where she did put out a Pikachu music video with him?
And it's, I did, but I'm honestly so here for it.
Was it for Detective Pikachu?
No, it was like 5 days ago.
Oh my God.
Check
it's
that out.
It's so funny.
My favorite was when she was dressing up as a clown for a while. Single or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, what a time to be wearing a clown outfit.
Well, you know, Caroline, it was 2019. It was a Joker climate. It was, you know, everyone was getting a little twisted.
Yeah,
so
a Joker.
Her aesthetic is very chaotic. And I think it's why I've never been able to tap in or align or quite figure it out. And I'm also gay, so like if I can't tap in as a gay man, there's like something wrong with you.
Yeah, like sure. She messed up the camp levels at some point along the way.
Yeah.
In the beginning it was working, it all made sense, like there was a cohesion.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just all over. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Something got
then
lost.
She really
in the
lost her way. She started
but you were
she started dressing as a literal clown.
Honk, honk. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Honk,
yeah.
Culture.
We couldn't even make a joke. It was already there.
Yeah, exactly.
You were a PK like KP.
Sorry, yes. We've gotten down a very long Katy Perry rabbit hole. I was just like Katy Perry. JK, I actually don't know what she was like as a child. Probably annoying, but I probably was too. I was like very
well, you could ask Kevin, because he kind of interviewed her as a child, and he was a child himself as well.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that is too, Jonathan. I did interview her when she was 15 years old, so I would have been 11 or 12 years old. It was for a local Christian radio station.
So cute.
Oh.
And the audio does exist of it.
Oh my God. It's
repulsive.
You said something like, is there anything else you want people to know about your album coming out? It's so cute. And she's like, you can tell she's like trying to be nice, but she's also like a child.
She's
great.
15 is the thing.
Oh my God.
She was very charming. And I bet you were charming too at 15.
I was charming too. I was a preacher's kid. Both my parents were ministers. So I grew up in, they were United Church of Christ, which is a little, they allow women to be pastors.
Yeah, a little more liberal, right?
I know.
Very
smart. Yes, but the twist is I grew up in very small conservative towns. So despite the fact that like my parents were like liberal Christians, the towns we were in were not. So I was born in Pennsylvania in literal Amish country, like We would just like roll up behind some buggies on our way to church. There was Shoe Fly Pie. There was just like intense rural Pennsylvania conservatism. And parents were like, we need to get the hell out of here. And more liberal, like Massachusetts, except we're going to choose the smallest town you've never heard of called Whitensville, which is also incredibly conservative. So it was very odd. But so I grew up as a preacher's kid. So obvi, like church was like a part of our moment. And like, you know, like when you're a preacher's kid, you just like, you're kind of a star. Do you know what I mean? Because like, you're the most famous kid at school, like the most famous kid in Sunday school.
Is that Jonathan? I heard about him on Sunday.
Who is he?
He said something so precocious.
No, exactly. Oh my God, you get the vibe.
Okay, Pastor didn't name him by name, but I know he was talking about him for sure. It had to be
his childlike wonder reminded me to have a simple faith.
No, but like, loved a shout out from the pulpit.
You liked that though, like that wasn't too much for you mostly.
No, I did like it. The only tricky territory I got into, I was also in Boy Scouts and they met in the basement of our church. And like, I am and was, even though I was not out, was gay as fuck. And like, just Boy Scouts was like hell for me. But I went in as a Weeblo, which is also a ridiculous name for anything. Weeblos are like young scouts. Like the younger scouts are called Weeblos. I don't know how this happened. Anyway, so I was the Weeblo first. And so I was like at first into it and like into the merit badges and like they were cute. And then I got into like scouts and I was like, oh, I really hate this. But then I felt like responsible for the scouts, like meeting place. And I like worried.
Oh my gosh.
Quit Boy Scouts. That like they would no longer have a place to meet in the basement of our church.
So, like, That's so sweet. The burden you carried of the venue for them is so sweet.
The burden I carried for Boy Scouts. Oh my God. Not worth it. Oh my God. I hated camping.
Oh no.
But anyway, so that was the one PK moment that I did not enjoy. But for the most part, like, you know, all my friends were like kids and like at the church and like we would like run around and like I would be like the queen because I was like, you know, the PK kid. And
it was like pipeline to authority.
Yeah, it was VQ. but then at 13, I figured out that I was gay and I came out and I was going to this private prep school that was like, 45-minute commute away from our house.
Oh man.
And so I came out to my parents and I came out to my school, but then when I came out to my parents, they were kind of like, so we might not want to tell people at church. And I think that they were like being protective of me, but also protective of probably their jobs and our family's entire livelihood. Because it was very conservative. Again, even though they were liberal, it was like a very small conservative town. And so that was kind of like the break. And then I kind of like stopped going to church and they were like, yeah, that's fine. I don't know. So then it was just kind of like religion just like wasn't for me. And I think it was like kind of weird that all of a sudden I like wasn't going to church. But then shortly thereafter, I went to a boarding school for the performing arts. And then people are just like, oh, he's away at a boarding school for the performing of arts, like not being gay, even though.
Nothing gay about that.
My boy's crushing pussy at the boarding school for performing arts.
Yes, that's great.
Oh my God. No, I was just like living my gay boarding. It was just like basically like gay sleepaway camp.
So then
I never really got back into church until I wrote that article you mentioned we were talking earlier before recording this.
Oh yes.
Went to Reality LA, which is this hipster evangelical megachurch.
Kevin and I met.
That's where we met. Oh yeah, did I tell you that was our meet cute story? It was a community group at Reality LA. Yes.
Oh my God, deep twist.
We were in the same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Wait, that's also how you know my friend Henry, which listeners of this podcast will not know who that is.
Listeners, you know Henry. Great guy.
I think listeners of this podcast should know Henry.
They
Henry
should.
They should.
But the piece you wrote, the name of it is Jesus, Mary, and Joe Jonas. Terrific title. And yes, people should read it just like, even with no personal connection of their own to the particular church, because the picture you paint of what that experience is and the inherent paradox and contradiction of people attending that church in the middle of Hollywood. It's right across from the big ass Netflix building where that church used to meet. I don't know where they're meeting now in COVID times, but it's so interesting because as we've talked about on the show, that church is not queer affirming at all. No. They're very conservative in their theology. So in the way you interrogate that with obviously a lot of personal stake with the issue at hand, it's so interesting where you're just talking to these head pastors who are like, yeah, I kind of believe you're totally in sin and probably going to hell and whatever, but I love you or what. And it's just like,
well, that doesn't have to get between us. Like, we could be cool.
No, but it's true. I mean, it's wild. I never thought they would. I mean, I was like, well, first of all, they would say that they're welcoming of queer people, which is just so wild. Because it's like, yeah, they're welcoming if you just are celibate and never have sex. And like, oh, maybe, yeah. And if you like married a woman and had children, that also wouldn't be so bad. Like, that's basically it, which is like not welcoming of queer people. That's deeply dramatic. Anyway, but it was wild. Yes. Because also like the other side of it is like, it wasn't just like I kind of went in being like, I'm going to get these like homophobes. And then I walked in, it was like wonderful, like loving, sweet, smart, intelligent people who were like really kind and like supporting each other in some really beautiful ways. But then there was also an unbelievable underlayer of horrific toxicity, which leads to all sorts of terrible things for not just queer people, but I would argue anyone that goes to
me. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it was this weird kind of mind fuck. And then I found myself, it was like, also I hadn't been back to church since I was a child. So I was since I was like 13, but like, so I was having kind of this like reawakening moment of like kind of responding to what was happening and then being really like emotionally invested. And then like kind of taking a step back and be like, whoa, this is like weird. Like what's happening? Also, these people are like very toxic and like bad for you. I was also going through a tough time in my life at that time. Anyway, you can read all about it in the article. But, you know, out of that, I like kind of had like a half spiritual awakening in a really toxic place. And that was kind of scary. and then someone actually reached out to me who had read it. I was like, oh, I go to this church called New Abbey, which is like queer, like post-evangelical, like super like into like social justice and intersectionality. And this is the spot. And so then I went to New Abbey, which I call New Abs, and have loved it ever since. And I think that, so that was, I still don't know if I even identify as a Christian, but I love that like, I go to a place that doesn't force me to like adopt some sort of like label essentially.
Yeah.
And that I can kind of just like explore and doubt and like do my thing and like, everyone's just like chill.
Enjoy the nice folks and the good tunes.
Yeah,
nice folks, good tunes, just vibes. Can't lose.
Can't lose. Yeah, and none
like,
of the
so cute. Like everyone who goes there is just
everyone
adorable.
Is so cute. I know.
Everyone's so cute.
Such a cutie. That's
definitely a part of the appeal for anyone that goes as well. I was listening to an interview you did, Jonathan, kind of about the piece that you wrote. And one of the things you said in that interview was Reality LA and churches like it offer you a sort of pre-made identity. When you go there, no matter who you are, it's like, no, this is what you are. And there is some lip service paid to the idea of a certain kind of diversity is beautiful and we love difference and we love the C word, complimenting each other.
Body of Christ, you're a foot, I'm a hand, I'm out of here.
I'm a left nut. but that really resonated with me in the sense of what a lot of churches do offer. I do wonder if it's like the exclusive province of even just conservative churches and churches with like really stringent theology and dogma like that, where it's like, this is the kind of pre-made identity. I do appreciate spaces like New Abbey where there does seem to be a little more leash and latitude for, like, I don't know, or maybe I'm not a Christian today. Let's pray or not. Who cares? You know, like, that sort of attitude is better. And like a better environment to be in for fostering actual independence and actual freedom. So, I mean, has that been your experience there as well?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also think, because the pre-made identity, it's like, you believe these things and you're saved, bingo. But it's not actually, it's not real. And it's not something tangible. And it's also not, it's like, it's not really engaging with human beings on a real human level. It's just giving you like, okay, here's the checklist. And if you check it all off, you're good. But it's not true. Like, you're just, life is so much more nuanced and there's so much more gray and there's so much more room for doubt. And if you're just adhering to this like arbitrary set of rules based on this ancient book, like that's not going to be sustainable and it's not going to be healthy. And it's also going to lead you to live a really repressed life. And it also like separates people. But I think it's also like hard. If you're vulnerable, if you're going through a hard time, as I was when I wrote that, it can also be like kind of attractive because it's almost like, oh, like my life's fucked up or I'm going through a really hard time, but wouldn't it be nice just to like be a completely new person and have a new family and a new identity? Mm-hmm. Christ, do you know what I mean?
It's like, all sorted out and like my actions have like right or wrong choices, you know?
Yes, exactly. But again, it's not even individual. So it's just like, it literally is a one size fits all. Oh yeah, well, I'll wave my magic fucking wand and you're saved regardless of what the fuck you're going through. Do you know what I mean? But then once you're into what the fuck you're going through, like then you get tied up in all
sorts. It's too generic.
Yeah. Then you learn that you've been sinning this whole time. Do you know what I mean? And you crack with guilt and judgment and then you get really fucked up because you have adhered to this identity, which is based and really stringent.
Yeah, I don't really know what you're talking about. That sounds like a you experience.
Caroline and I don't really identify with any of that.
That's like really never happened to me at all. But no, it's very true. And it is very like, to me, in retrospect, it's like casting a spell, like the salvation prayer and the beliefs or whatever. And it's literally almost that simple in some ways, too, of like, if you say the magic phrase, you are complete as far as like your eternal life and like your family and your God and your choices and all those things.
Yes.
And then, and it's presented to you like that too. And then you actually do get into the dirty work of living a human life. And it's like, oh, actually, so the spell was just the beginning.
Yeah.
And you have to repeat the spell a few times, make sure you said it right. And then also, you are not done and you are actually extremely flawed and we have a lot more spells to do, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Spells.
We got magic to do, if you will, Caroline.
Picking up that Pippin reference.
Okay. Stephen Schwartz, famous not Christian, who did a lot of Christian stuff for some reason.
Loved it.
Yeah. Well, I find myself in the last few years at this point in the process, like you're identifying, Caroline, in terms of a North Star or a spell that kind of all encompasses everything. I do find myself, because it's so easy to talk about like, life's not really like that. And there's so much gray. Yeah. And it's messy and we got to figure it out. And I talk that big game. But at the same time, I still find myself implicitly or not searching for those North Stars and those things to like rejigger the puzzle pieces to fall into place of like just some sort of cohesive worldview where it kind of makes sense. And it sucks. Like it is like not fun, but that is still sort of my temptation is to go after things where it's like, I think if I filter everything through this lens, whether that's like, I mean, oftentimes, and I think what it is for most of us is like progressive ideology of like, okay, well, who are the like the most tuned in, ideologically sound people that I know, whether it's politically or with certain social justice issues, saying, okay, and then how do I just kind of filter everything through that in my life? And then can I do relationships through that lens too? Can I do my money through that lens? It's usually like, no, you can kind of only do this through that lens. And I keep finding myself failing to find those like things that kind of click it all into place again. Do y'all have that experience at all? Is it just me?
I think I'm constantly looking for, I think it comes down to looking for meaning. But I think that if you're looking for meaning in something which leaves no room for doubt, and if someone tells you they have all the answers, run far, far in the other direction. Mm-hmm. But I do think, of course, yeah, I mean, I think we all look for structures within which we can find meaning and ways to move through the world and which can work as our moral compass. And I think that, you know, it's, I just, as long as someone's allowing room for doubt, because otherwise you're just entering a cult.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean too. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
And I think that in the age of Instagram also, I feel like there is like filing down of in Twitter, like ideas are filed down to very fine points that don't allow for a lot of like discussion or room, you know, without going too far into that combo. But I mean, I think that doubt is just an important ingredient, mm-hmm. as you search for those kind of larger structures and frameworks and lenses. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we're always all looking for lenses and new ways of viewing the world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, allowing for skepticism. I also am always looking for like some sort of airtight, like full world logic of like how things should work. But I'm not even conscious of it, I think, half the time. Like even the, you know, just do whatever feels good. And as long as it doesn't hurt yourself or hurt anybody else, you're good, you know? And like, for a while I was like, yeah, that's true. And then I was like, what does that mean? Like, there's so many like permutations of that in between. Like, I don't even know. How do you know if you're hurting yourself? How do you know if you're hurting other people? Only if they tell you. What if they don't tell you? You know, like so many things. Yeah, it's literally not, there's no such thing as airtight because we're messy.
We are messy. Human. Although I will say my North Star right now, Peloton. I feel like I'm kind of filtering all Peloton. Of my...
Now, does Peloton say, no doubts, you must do Peloton only? Never question the effectiveness of Peloton.
No doubts, just sweat.
I do believe that Peloton is brainwashing you through their videos.
That's I'm fine. Keeping an eye on him.
Get at me, Leon Hemsley.
Acolyte? Like, what's the journey?
Oh, is veteran. Oh, yes. Acolyte. For the last 3 weeks, I've been riding almost every day, Jonathan. I got my favorite instructors. I got my own bike playlist on Spotify.
Do you use the instructors? Is it live with the instructors? Like, are you like, can you talk back to your instructor? Or is it like pre-recorded bits?
Oh, yeah. Can you heckle them?
Can you turn your microphone and say like, boo, go slower, please? No, it's both actually, where you can do live classes in which there's a live leaderboard simulating what it would be like to do an in-person class or like an Orange Theory situation. But then there's also pre-recorded classes you can do whenever you want, or you can do sessions where it's like all of these people are doing the pre-recorded class at the same time. So then the leaderboard is live. So you're all competing against each other with like your output and your wattage. So there's like multiple, I promise this isn't sponsored content.
Yeah, straight up sounds like a sales desk, like outside 24-hour fitness.
For a low monthly subscription, you can get access to all the classes, including strength training. Yeah. And they always say, come on, Peloton, you got this. They address the community as
you
Peloton.
Are Peloton.
Oh my God, you
that's
are.
That's so genius.
Oh my God,
you're not
writers.
You're Peloton. You're on Peloton.
Isn't that
Peloton
funny?
Is the world.
And they
and
do.
The
and
group.
They do talk about community like a lot. They talk like as a part of this community and push and believe. I will say though, conclusively less culty, cringy than SoulCycle. I will say that.
yeah. I mean, I do think that the fact that Peloton is a collective noun is a little
yes.
like we are Peloton.
Yeah,
like they teach their teachers to say that.
It's
while
brethren.
Like
yes,
shouting.
Of course, it's the new brethren for the sweating age. I know.
Is there Church. A VR component? Could you ever VR in your Peloton?
Wow,
man,
I
that
love
would
that.
Be incredible. I don't know what the VR would be. I guess it would be like an immersive. Because they do have
and the
rides.
Other classmates could be like in your little VR. You
with can
you.
Look
be so
to
crazy.
The right of you and just see some guy in Minnesota. Like, yeah,
I guess
I'm
you need a lot of cameras,
too.
Though.
Where do you keep your Peloton? Isn't it gigantic?
Oh my gosh! Yes, 3, 2, 1. The reveal.
Oh my God! For listeners, he just revealed his Peloton in the background, out from under a towel, which makes me think that this was just a whole lead up.
Caroline, you gotta tell him it's not true. It's not true.
There was a full unveiling just waiting to happen directly behind.
Oh my gosh! And I'm so excited to see that, and I can't wait to get mine. And Kevin, is there a referral code if you give someone else
a
Peloton?
I'm so glad you asked. You actually get $100 off, and I get $100 if you use my referral code. Good grief!
$100 off $5,000.
Oh my lord! I know a lot of the. I'm sure you could plug in a lot of Hillsong songs to the soul to the Peloton. Playlist.
I'm surprised there isn't like a collaboration between Hillsong and
Peloton. There isn't a collaboration.
It's like the Peloton small groups where they scream Bible verses while blasting.
I would imagine when they open up like a Peloton studio in Australia. That will happen because
Hillsong is Australia.
Hillsong is Australia. Australia is Hillsong. The continent is being colonized all over again in a different sort of way.
Australians actually aren't called Australians anymore. They're called Peloton.
Oh my god, love.
Can you imagine? And then the continent slowly stretches and becomes the logo over time, like a verse Pangea. That'd be amazing.
Oh my god, R.I.P. Carl Lenz, speaking of Hillsong.
R.I.P.
Sorry to that man.
Megachurch public meltdowns are like one of my favorite genres of
delicious
public meltdown.
Oh yeah.
Really my only favorite genre of public meltdown, because otherwise I'm just sad. But with like evangelical megachurch pastors, love to see Jerry Falwell Jr. collapse like the empire.
Yeah. Like, you know, there is going to be some collateral damage, certainly, for maybe people in their lives or whatever, but like it will probably be a net good, you know, like all the people also, that followed them and were like so like into their cult or whatever, like there'll be a little bit of a reckoning.
That's,
you know,
interesting.
That's positive.
Yeah, to compare Jerry Falwell Jr. and Carl Lentz, though, because what I found in both those cases is that the hotter the man, the harder the fall, or the more I enjoyed it. So Carl Lentz's posturing, like, because Carl Lentz would like totally lean into the beefcake shirtless GQ thing on the cover of his Christian books. And there's like poses where he's like grabbing his arm and like kind of looking with like a certain kind of lip shape into the lens of the photographer. And we, maybe that's like an old nerd thing, but we love to see hot men fail.
I totally agree. What's terrifying is I think Jerry Falwell thought he was hot, which was disgusting. I don't know if you remember. Not
yes.
That people who look like Jerry Falwell can't be hot, but I on the inside, I believe he is a dark, evil soul who is ugly on the inside and out. But I think he thought he was hot, and that was also a part of that. Like, there were like weird Instagram, like very sexual Instagrams that were
handle.
I don't know. But yes, I agree with you. It's maybe even more satisfying to see Carl Lenz fall just because of the smug hotness.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
smugness too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when John Piper, if he ever had a fall, it wouldn't be that delicious to me because I'm not like hubba hubba John. But okay.
Piper, work on your image and then come back and do something heinous.
Let's get a few figures from you guys. How much would you pay to have access to the Tyler Perry Underground Railroad support group? Tyler Perry group text between him, Carl, and I guess Megan and Harry? Are they
Megan
on
and Harry
a group
and Archie?
Text? And wait, who's the other one?
And Archie.
Oh, Archie,
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I would give my left foot.
Tyler Perry a big Hillsong person?
Apparently. I mean, he's interesting because we should talk about him someday, Caroline, because the overlap of like Medea culture with Christian culture. I mean, hallelujah. It's right there in the catchphrase, but
sure. Yeah. I don't know how they had a connection beyond just like celebrity things, but Tyler Perry like reached out to the Lentzes and was like, come live in my mansion while you deal with the fallout of your scandal.
Oh my
which
God,
I guess rendered you helpless somehow.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Always letting rich people stay in his mansion.
Always let it, yeah.
Wait, this didn't, oh no.
Crisis landlord of LA.
Yeah. Wait, but did Meghan and Harry, was that where they stayed?
Yes.
Like that was one of the revelations of the
before they like got their house. I think they have a house now in LA, but before then they didn't have anywhere to live when they came from Canada, and so they stayed in Tyler Perry's mansion.
I don't.
Oh, and didn't Oprah not directly mention she was like a friend of ours?
Yes.
Him, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh my God, this is all, the pieces are all coming together.
It's incredible. The tapestry of characters. Oh my God. Together.
This is an article from Page Six in December. Tyler Perry put $100,000 towards Carl Lentz's LA rent. He dropped nearly $100,000 so disgraced pastor Carl Lentz could live in a luxury Los Angeles mansion.
Oh, wait. So it wasn't Tyler Perry's house.
It wasn't his house.
He paid his rent.
Perry covered 6 months of rent up front on the 5,000 square foot, 5-bedroom Manhattan Beach home.
God, I got to know what happened to Carl Lentz's money. Like, why was he suddenly so hard up for... Well, I guess maybe he didn't have $100,000 on the bank.
Also, did he not own a home? Did he not manage to own a home himself? It's very odd.
He was very wealthy. I imagine.
Hmm. He went from there's so many factors that maybe one day we'll know about in 5 years from now.
But it's like there might be better uses of your money than like bailing out a rich mega
$100,000. I know.
Like I had very questionable management and set up an abusive.
Oh well, Tyler Perry has never mismanaged his money, you know, so or done anything kind of wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was out of character.
Tyler Perry's favorite song is the Ghostbusters theme song, but when he sings "Busting Makes Me Feel Good," it's about unions. Because he famously doesn't hire guild writers or anything on
his own. Oh my God.
That's why he's so rich, is because he has no union. Anyway, that's a whole different thing.
Oh my God. I also didn't realize all of his productions were non-union.
Yeah.
How does he get away with that? That's wild.
Well, a lot of the TV stuff is non-union, unfortunately. Non-union. I think the movie stuff might be. It's so funny to see him crop up in like Gone Girl and other reputable movies, and he's never bad in them. He's always good. But who could say what animates the mind and heart of Mr. Perry? Our friends, yeah, over newcomers Lauren Lapkus and Nicole Byer are doing a whole Tyler Perry series this season on them. So if y'all want more on that, you can check them out.
Tyler Perry houses disgraced podcaster Kevin T. Porter in his garage, gives him 3 Pelotons so he feels at home.
One for after each meal.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, Peloton.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's like my goal is to be, yeah, to have Tyler Perry take care of me.
Is to be disgraced and then
in my darkest moment. Yes. Yeah.
Oh gosh. All right. Well, Jonathan, thanks for sharing so much of your story and growing up.
Yes.
It sounds like you're in a good kind of fun, amorphous, maybe wilderness exploration place with the faith now, and it's whatever.
Yeah, I'm seeking. I'm in the wilderness.
And we are nothing if not seeker sensitive on this podcast.
Very seeker sensitive. Yes, always.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now.
Mm.
And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time again for another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
Wow. We got the drum kit on that one.
Singles Ministry.
Is that your voice?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Where? Get him a recording contact now.
I know. I'm telling him. You need to sing more. Get out there.
Forget Stars of Clay, honey. We're talking about
artist Kevin T. Porter just signed with WME to sing only podcast jingles for niche, low-rated comedy podcasts. And he's making the opposite of a killing. Singles Ministry, this is the format where we talk about one single song. We talk about it. We deconstruct it. We talk about what it means to us, etc. And we're talking about Love Song for a Savior by Jars of Clay. Now, before we get into that, though, Jonathan, I wanted to talk to you generally about your experience with Christian pop culture. I made this a very frustrating process for you where I said, what do you want to talk about? And you named 9 things we had already done.
Oh, no.
It was wild, honey. I was like, I feel like I named more than I was like.
Oh, yeah, sorry, more.
You see, Pog, A Week Away. I wanted to Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, no.
Creed. Honey, I went through.
All
I
great choices.
I mean, it felt traumatic though. I felt like I was failing you in some way. How is he done?
More niche,
smaller, more specific. No, that was I didn't set you up for success. But then we finally landed on Jars of Clay. But what was your general exposure to Christian pop culture? Because my impression from the more liberal denominations is that there wasn't such a strict evangelical Christian only media diet. You can't watch this. You can't listen to that. What was your experience?
There wasn't, but like, I still got a lot of it. And like, there was like bleed over. Like we definitely, I think, I don't know if it was just because there wasn't any other kind of content or like, for example, VeggieTales was the best Christian kids content out there.
Remains sure. the best. Oh, sure. But no one has taken the crown yet, as far as I know. Yeah.
But like, so I think there were just certain things like, you know, we watched it like Vacation Bible School. I don't know. It was just like Christian, that just kind of bled over. But then I also like my BFF and childhood crush, who shall remain nameless, was another PK who was Baptist, and he like lived across the town square from us. So I did get plugged into some more intense Jesus shit. Like, he's the one who got me into like DZ Talk and like Jars of Clay, and we would like listen in his basement together, and I would dream of being gay with him, which never happened. If you saw photos of him now, you would see that, wow, we were about to take very different journeys.
You know, you were thinking sloppy wet kiss, but in a couple ways, maybe.
We went very different ways in our life paths. But for that, for those poignant moments in the basement where there was gay sexual tension on one side of the equation, yes, we listened to Jars of Clay and Deep Talk.
Jonathan, I wish I could have gone back to you in that basement and just like held your hand and told you it's going to be okay. You'll be able to use this for a podcast someday.
Oh my God, so bleak. And little Jonathan says, what's a podcast? And Caroline just quietly winks and says, oh,
it's where
you'll
talk about jars of clay.
It's where famous dumbasses tell people to not get the vaccine. What vaccine?
Bye-bye.
Oh my God, yeah. The ghost of podcast future.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
But thanks to that BFF, you had a whole slew of a great artist to
yes, no, exactly.
In.
We would actually kind of like, we would call them like fundies, which was like our...
Oh my gosh.
Triggering, I don't know, but we would kind of like make fun of them for being like the more religious family, even though like I was like best friends with him. My parents, I guess, were just like encouraging me to talk about my best friend behind his back. But like we would always, and they had a voicemail, and because I would call all the time, like he's like my childhood best friend, and their voicemail was like, beep, you've reached the blank. Enjoy God's love today.
Whoa. Okay.
So we would always like collectively troll them as a family for saying enjoy God's love today on their answering machine.
Cut to Drew Barrymore in a house alone by herself. Enjoy God's love today. Who is this? Who is this? Talk about that scream intro, baby.
That's so funny.
So we got our producer Dexter going a little wild in the room right now.
Hey, oh my God, Dexter!
He's a big Jars of Clay fan too.
Yeah, he's trying to get us to stay on topic.
Yeah, he's like, no more tangents.
Oh God.
But Jars of Clay also were hot? Question mark. I actually looked back to. Before this, Google them to make sure my memories of them being hot were correct. And I actually don't know if they're hot, but like at the time they like felt hot to me. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
yeah. I'm Googling as well. I mean, there was a really strong style direction that they were taking, which can be hot.
Yeah.
You know, like
at one point, Stephen like rocked kind of like, a little bit of a gay haircut situation.
That's interesting.
And had a little bit of gay face. I think maybe I was responding to like the gay face.
Gay face.
You know what I mean by gay face?
No, like, what is people, that?
People who just like look gay.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought it would be. Okay.
Like Chase Crawford from Gossip Girl.
Yes, like, thank you. Oh
like,
my gosh.
He just like looks gay. Like there's just something about it's like, I don't know. It's like kind of
it's
like
the prettiness of the eyes too. And, yeah.
Exactly. There's a certain femininity, je ne sais quoi.
Sure.
Yes, yes.
I definitely have your face, so I can say that. As a-
Yeah, but Jars of Clay, a band that started kind of in the mid-90s. We've talked about them before. Dan Hasseltine on vocals, Charlie Lowell, Stephen Mason, Matthew Odemark. Same guys, same lineup the whole time, start to finish. Their career, amazing. By the way, Jonathan, kind of ended because of the issue of gay marriage, in a way. Dan Hasseltine tweeted questioningly about, like, wait, why are Christians so against gay marriage? What's the deal? Like, not even like, I love gay marriage, but just like, wait, why is everyone so pissed off about this? He tweeted before he got on a plane. You can see this recapped in an interview he did. with our friend Grace Selmer Baldridge on Refinery 29 on that series she did with him. By the time the plane landed, they were dropped from radio stations, from their label, pretty much.
Oh my God.
In a soft sort of
way. They were Dixie chicked.
They were a little Dixie chicked, but in like 2013, like 10 years after the Dixie chicks were Dixie chicked.
Yeah. And years after same-sex marriage was already legal as well, right? No, that wasn't recent. That was
no. Well, no, for it to be legal in all 50 states, it was still embarrassingly recently.
That's true. That's right. Yes, I forget that because California was done in like 2008.
So yes, but also to the hotness factor and the aesthetic, I will say the majority of their career overlapped with maybe some of the more disgusting fashion aesthetics and trends. I mean,
that's true. Like, they could have been hotter in a different time. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. but their debut album coming out in 1995, you don't think 1995, everyone looked banging in 1995. It was like floppy flannels and swinger bowling shirts and zoots. It's like, what was like 95?
I mean, I feel like they did have maybe like a moment of like Nirvana adjacent style. Like they were trying to be like hip and alt rock, and they kind of succeeded, question mark, if I remember correctly. Like they kind of had a little bit of mainstream crossover, or is that wrong? Yeah.
No, that is correct. No,
they did.
Songs like Flood got played on MTV and VH1, and a lot of people did not know that they were Christian from those songs, which, you know, is kind of whatever the inverse on the other side of the spectrum is of eventually this song, Love Song for a Savior, in which the refrain is, I want to fall in love with you, was in 2012 used in Christian Mingle ads.
And that's right.
And commercials on television.
Oh my God. Wait, which is also just the most fucked up messaging. Because, okay, well, this is my thing about Christian pop songs in general. They're like, don't have sex, just fall in love with Jesus. Yet they're like these like Dave Matthews Band, like Crash Into Me, but like with Jesus. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
just like, into him.
Yeah. Oh. Exactly though. It's like, it's literally like the most sexualized.
Too much tension. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the fact that it's used for Christian Mingle, it just like backs that up.
It's like, fuck. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, y'all were right to be horny. It's 12 years later. We can come clean and say like, yeah. That's what it was about.
You are so right. Yeah. Like, I didn't even, like, it's just happened so many times that you switch between God and boyfriend that I didn't even notice that, yes, this chorus is to God. And then they used it for Christian Mingle for couples. Just wild.
It's like so bizarre. But then you're also telling couples, like, to not have sex and just be satisfied in your relationship with Jesus until you get married, unless you're gay and just kids. You can just never have sex. But it's so wild.
Yeah. Now, Dan Hasseltine did defend this in an interview with, for some reason, he did an interview with songfacts.com. And they talked about, yeah, Christian Mingle's been using Love Song for a Savior. And he's like, yeah, I know. And the interviewer says, that always struck me as a worship song, not a dating song. Were you concerned that it would be misunderstood? His defense is as follows. I don't think so. And by the way, Dan's like, especially now, a fairly vocal anti-Trump guy and moderate to progressive guy, not a conservative guy by any stretch of the imagination. So be kind and keep that in mind. He says, I don't think so. Look at hip hop culture and how they sample part of a chorus of a song. They pull it out of context and just use it for a new context, in a sense, create a derivative work. When they use the line, I want to fall in love with you on its own, apart from the full body of that song, it certainly works in that context for them. So I don't go, you know, they pull this way out of context. It's not scripture or part of the Constitution. It's the song with a different meaning. So I think it worked for that. We have always believed that we're writing songs that aren't just going to sit in the vault and be what we listen to. We have to be ready for letting other people interpret them differently and let them have different meanings for different people. That's the great thing about art. It's open to interpretation. I know there's some controversy surrounding that and people who say we can't believe that they would take a song that was meant to be about God and turn it into a person. I tend to think that we care so deeply about personal relationships that if they want to use it that way, we're happy that they did. So it doesn't bother us that it gets pulled out of context that way. So
it doesn't bother us at all.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
The context.
Hang on. Translation, my nose with $100 bill.
Gracious.
Oh my God. Doesn't bother us at all after like a 5-minute like anxiety spiral just to Like, just admit it, honey. Like, you've already cashed that Christian Mingle check and have spent it.
We're not going to take it from you.
Yeah. No, I think that, I mean, but like, I'm also like not mad. I'm like, whatever, bro. Like,
yeah, get the bag. Who cares?
Yeah. It's like,
I don't care.
It's also like, but it is just so weird. It is like, because also, you know, the Christian Mingle used the song because they know it's a Christian song. There's no way that the executives at Christian Mingle didn't sit back and like, think like, oh my God, you know what song we used to worship to or listen to when like we were kids? This song. So it'll have nostalgia plus sex. And like Jesus mixed in there in a really weird way.
It's so funny.
Melange.
We should probably listen to a little bit of the song, by the way, just to give it context again for anyone who may not have listened to it before. And I sang this song youth group. That's my memory of it.
In open fields of wildflowers, she breathes the air and flies away.
She thanks to Jesus for the daisies and the roses.
No simple language, someday she'll understand the meaning of it all. He's more than the laughter for the stars in the heaven. As close as a heartbeat or a song off her lips. Someday she'll trust him and learn how to see him. Someday he'll call her and she will come running and fall in his arms. The tears will fall down and she'll pray. I want to fall in love with you. I want to fall in love with you. I want to fall in love with you.
Or is it just recorder?
Okay. I think it might be recorder. I'm trying to remember the contemporary moment that the recorder or penny whistle or whatever it's called that they use in that song was having. Because I, of course, so associated with Titanic, maybe, first of all, as like Titanic 90s pop that. Music. But yeah. Titanic is a couple years after this, right? So,
oh my God, this paved the way for Titanic.
Wow, trend makers.
From Dan to Leo.
Makers.
Thank you, Dan.
They also have like such like 90s voice. Like, it's like, I want to
roses.
Yeah, sure. With you. It's like, but like so many people sung like that in the 90s. It's
they
like,
did.
I know. There's like, I think my favorite voice, my favorite female voice of the 90s was probably Natalie Merchant. And then my favorite male voice might have been
iteration.
Yes. Like, and I think my favorite male voice was probably Eddie Vedder. And this kind of almost sounds like a cross between the both of them in some ways, his vocals.
Yeah.
Natalie Vedder.
They just made up like new vowels, you know, and for how things are supposed to sound. Yeah. And now it's become like on TikTok, they call it speaking in cursive.
That's interesting. Wait, that this voice is speaking in?
Just like when people use kind of an affectation with that voice, but they're obviously like American English speakers. Yeah, the kind of like weird vowel turns.
Yeah.
Like that, that like Lord does it.
The Lord of it all.
She's not a,
I know, that's the thing. If it came out American, now, it would be, I want to fall in love with you.
Yeah.
It's the, we got bananas and avocados vine, right? We got bananas, avocados. Yeah. So that's their voice.
I will say the chorus still holds up. It's pretty fucking catchy. Mm-hmm. I gotta give it to them.
Yeah.
Recorder, deaf dated. Like, you know what I mean? Like the recorder is a little cheesy, like a little Jesus camp. I don't know. It's like a little... The backup vocals also a little bit cheesy and not quite there, but I think the bones of the song, they hold up.
Jonathan says the bones are good of this song.
I like the bones.
We love the bones.
I remember singing this too, but now I'm like, how are we all singing along with the verses? Because most worship songs, you know, are so simple and easy for the whole group to sing along with. And I just can't remember all of us being like, she thanks her Jesus for the daisies and the roses. Like, it just,
we did it.
So
we did
complex.
It.
How did we do that?
I think sometimes on the projector, they would put like women sing this part and then men sing God. This part. I think that might have happened.
Sitting salad wearing Sunday. I know. Like, were we doing that? I don't remember.
It's not a like super simple, for the verse stuff, you're right, Caroline. Like, it's not Hillsong-y yeah. in the good way
it's
of
a,
like
it's a real
sticky.
Song.
Yeah, it's like
yeah. Or did they just take the chorus and put it like with other songs, the way they would do with like Amazing Grace all the time?
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh well, that would be the best. Is like it gets to the end of another song and the guy's just like there, and he's like, you can tell he's feeling it, and it's the end of that song.
Everyone's and hands then, are still up.
I want to. Fall and they transition into the song that way, and that's very
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
And that's good. Showmanship, as Carmen taught us all. May he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
But this song, you know, we get a little itchy and antsy about anytime it's a Christian song in which it's a male singer and songwriter describing a girl of any sort. Because it's usually like, this girl's so fucked up, she doesn't know Jesus. Like, it's usually mm-hmm. that's the genre.
Misogynist condescension.
Yeah, or she needs to be protected because she's, in yeah. this song, I think, so simple, so dumb.
But, you know,
a little simple-minded girl. Like, are they talking about a little girl, though? Like, that makes more sense.
I think it's a little girl.
And then they drop her for the rest of the song, so I don't know
yeah,
what happened
to
her. It sounds like a love song. It just sounds like a love right? song, too.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It just yeah. sounds like not a Jesus love song. It sounds like... Yeah.
Very I think romantic. It's tender. I think it's very tender, but yeah, I don't know. It does sound like a love song sometimes, but for me, I thought I was okay with the kind of picture, our cold open on the open field of wildflowers and the girl.
Yeah.
She thanks Jesus Whoa. For the daisies and the roses.
Beautiful.
No simple language. Someday she'll understand the meaning of all. He's wow. more than laughter or the stars in the heavens, as close as a heartbeat. Or a song on her lips. Someday she'll trust him and learn how to see him. I mean, even though it's not even like theology I would affirm or espouse myself, I think it's pretty. Like, I like the writing yeah. of it. I think it's nice.
It's not as horrific as some. It's not even really horrific. It's just kind of a pretty song.
I think it's the tenderness cool. of it too, because it's not like they're saying, one day she'll bow her knees and thank God for all he did for like what like a
yeah.
Like a
well, I almost like that's part of the reason I kind of like feel sad for this little person, whoever she is. Cause like I think she did kind of get to the heart of why you should like God and Jesus, which is flowers, laughter, stars. I mean, what else do you need? And they're like, she needs more in-depth knowledge,
Ooh,
you know, in order to understand
yep.
God. Like, she has a very simple, pure understanding, and that's great. But someday she'll learn to weep in his arms. I'm like, no, I think she's got it. I'm actually trying to get back to her and like yeah. whatever she figured out, you know, and
yeah,
like
let's under her experience.
Drop yeah. the books. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a really good read, Caroline. That it does kind of supersede the Pixar soul of it all, where it's like, yeah, maybe it is just a leaf and that's okay.
Yeah,
and
the
deal
daisies
with
are
it.
Great.
Yeah.
It's a pretty profound.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Daisies
so still good. I don't think that they're dunking on her by any means. I think they're just like, oh, she's on the beginning of her journey of understanding God or whatever. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I would yeah. not be condescending about her beautiful world, natural world connection that she's into.
Yeah, that's
agree,
nice.
Yeah.
That's a compassionate perspective.
I think she can also find enlightenment outside of his arms.
Yeah.
Oh, certainly. Also- well, dream big, Jonathan. not my jars of clay. That's not going to be in the realm quite at this time.
I know. Arousing feminist anthem.
I think. Well, I think some of them are post-Christian now. I think some of them have deconstructed, as is the want to do. Kevin Max came out as an ex-evangelical on Twitter the other night.
He announced it
yeah.
officially.
He said, hi, I am Kevin Max.
Coming out. It's the
yeah,
show.
Sure. Good for him.
A little bit, yeah. But
what do you guys think about the verse? I don't know if this is the verse or the bridge, but it says, it seems too easy to call you Savior, not close enough to call you God. So I sit and think of the words I can mention to show my devotion.
Oh, I again, like, it's not the theology I would agree with, but I think it's a fun and kind of lovely way to get at, like, the yearning. And if this is a person, if it's written from the perspective of a guy who's like, God is everything and he did this for us and he loves me and cares about me, then I think that is a wonderful way to succinctly state, oh, it's more than this, but it's not quite this, and like kind of the overwhelming omnipresence or like omnilove, whatever that word would be, of God. I think it's nice. Yeah. Again, it's just not what I believe.
And the limits of language.
Yes.
Yeah. No, actually, I think that's a very good point. Yeah.
You know what?
It's more poetic than Jesus takes the wheel.
Although we did sing that in youth group in my church as well. Yes.
Jesus take the Carrie Underwood?
No, can you imagine if we did?
Everyone like having their solo.
No.
Caroline, you said the limits of language, and it would be so cool if it did get to that, and then they just started scatting in that bridge, like,
I have no words, so I'll say, ooh, 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 ooh,
Zabazooey. That'd be cool. Love
it's the only adequate way to praise God.
The kind of drum loops. Here's something I appreciate about Jars of Clay, too. They did the REM where they split all the songwriting credits so no one gets raw about it later. Because some bands, it's like written by this guy and no one else if it's like the primary songwriter. But then with these like really tight-knit bands, I think a lot of the secret to their longevity is the fact where it's like they're all getting paid equally for that Christian Mingle placement. And
they're all cashing in on
some of the infighting.
Sure.
Man,
I think so.
That would be so funny to like, oh, I quit this band, you know, 15 years ago, but I'll get like, I don't know, maybe $1,000 or something from a dating commercial in my past. What, like, it's kind of nice.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe I should
try. What a treat. Yeah, that would get me back into music, I think.
Now, Jonathan, we do a segment oftentimes on this format called Cover Me, where we go to YouTube and we look for covers of the song that we're discussing. Now, would you believe there's like a lot of obviously guitar, acoustic covers of the song, a lot of like very sincere, sweet people. There's always, by the way, we found this, Caroline, there's always a drum cover of all these songs for some reason where it's like, what if I just played it on drums? Which is like, I understand is like practice if you're a drummer. I guess I just don't know why people upload it if you're not like an amazing 4-year-old or something. I guess so.
Also 4-year-olds.
But for this one, listen, we got a real treat because we do have a straight up a cappella rendition of this song from 2018, the Peace on Earth cover. A Peace on Earth 2018 concert. Uh-oh.
Clapping any louder.
It's so loud. I just want to hear him sing. It's varied. It's more of a clapapella cover.
Clapapella.
Oh, no.
I think he's good, though. The lead singer seems
he's good. He's good.
Happening clapping.
Oh, my God. It's tough to watch. I was in an a cappella group and we pretty much sounded like that most of the time.
There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of what you would expect. I mean, my sweet spot is less than 200 views.
It is.
So, you know, nothing terribly remarkable. Just a lot of earnest people doing their thing. I want to fall in love with you. Okay, that's a new drop.
Oh my God. She's got to work on her pitch.
Love song for sweet. You know, 1997. That's when this one is dated.
Wow.
Ooh, maracas.
This is very loyal to the original.
Love
maracas and plants.
Oh, and we even got a ukulele tutorial for anyone wondering.
Roses, no simple language, someday she'll understand.
Nice.
And then you go to the pre-chorus.
I wish that people led worship like that, where they stopped strumming. They're like, okay, now we're going to do the verse again. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. Just so we're all on the same page. And then this might be my favorite one.
What?
Gang, it's not a cover, but it is a video for something called Pro Cut Lawn Care Fan Page. And these gentlemen just uploaded a video of them doing yard work to the song.
What?
Aww. What? Oh my god. Aww.
7 views uploaded November 2023.
7 views. They're just cutting grass.
It makes you feel like something big is gonna happen. And then, nice.
Ooh, that really tickled me.
Connecting with the daisies and the roses.
Daisies and the roses.
But I'm like, wow. Is it to advertise the company, maybe? I don't know. They have 15 yeah, subscribers.
Probably. Show what they can do. I mean, you know, it's a song about landscaping. Wait,
or no, it's a fan page, so it's the fans of that business.
They have another for I Surrender All. So maybe they just take Christian songs and put it over video. I'm not even making fun of it. I've just never thought to.
It's
just
amazing.
An incredible combo.
I never thought to put those things together. It's just yard work and contemporary Christian
a
music.
Mower.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Gracious.
I mean, that speaks to the flexibility of this song. You know, it can mean so many things to different people. Acapella, ukulele, landscaping.
Oh, man. I mean, that is the
worship,
ubiquity of the song.
Dating.
That's what makes it beautiful.
It's true.
Gracious.
I wonder, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, the chorus is, I want to fall in love with you.
Yeah.
What's stopping you?
What's
holding you back?
I don't know. What stopped you from going all in for Jesus and selling out, Caroline? Was it the fear of man?
My love for SNL?
SNL's an idol, Caroline.
Television.
We've talked about that.
I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying.
Gracious. No, we used to go to church. My family, we used to go to church on Saturday night. So then SNL was the treat that we got. For surviving church service. Like when I was like a little kid, I remember going to
You were a good boy and then you got to be bad.
We get to be a little bad boy and watch Jim Carrey host and do the, you know, lifeguard of the jacuzzi sketch or whatever it was. Oh man. Anything else we want to say about this song before we give it a rating? Any stray observations?
I think we really got inside and out.
We did. I was happy.
I think
the landscaping, I don't think we can go any deeper than the landscaping. I think we've explored every of this song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's something in podcasting, Jonathan, called the landscaping tier of discourse, where it's like once you reach that like uber deep level, that's when you know you've had a good talk. So the way this works is we're going to give it a thumbs up or thumbs down. Thumbs up is a holy toast. That's when we say to this song, yeah, 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 yeah. Holy roast is a thumbs down, and that's when we send it to hell and say,
no, 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 no.
And we start, as per usual, with Caroline Ely.
Mm. Surprise, I'm giving it a roast. I don't really like this song.
Hey!
Oh.
I want you to fall off a bridge, Caroline.
I want to fall off a bridge. I don't know. It's like it is pretty, I think, in the verses, but the chorus is just so plodding and uninventive and like, that's how it sounds to me in my head. When I hear this song, that's what I hear.
Nice. You're a drunk guy.
Yeah. Not for me. Roast. Go to hell.
Not for Caroline. Go to hell. We turn into Jonathan.
Now I feel like I'm not in a safe space because I was gonna toast.
No, Jonathan, you're totally welcome here. It's so safe.
I don't know what Kevin's gonna say. Okay, good. I am gonna give it a toast just because it has that like that bump of nostalgia for me.
Yes.
And it's giving me a little bit of the Narendra St. Matthew's vocals. And you know, I was kind of gay for all of Jazzy, so I'm gonna give it a toast.
I think it's still.
I don't know if it's a banger, but I think it holds up. The bones. It's got good bones.
The bones.
I mean, again, we come back to the cheek structure.
The Emily Deschanel of it all. Yeah. Good bones. Great bones. Listen, I understand Caroline's POV. I understand Jonathan's POV, but for me. When I look at these boys that stand behind me right now, as soon as I put them up, wait, where is it? Nope, that's not them. Oh, I had them as my virtual background. Wait, that's not, ah, shit. When I look at these boys, I do see love. And I like that the central metaphor of the song is not arriving somewhere. It's not, I love you. It's, I want to love you. I want to fall in love with you. So they're not yet there. So there is a little wiggle room of like, you can look at it in a past lens and be like, yeah, you wanted to fall in love. You never did. Now you're deconstructed. Wow. And, you know, having whatever.
You never stop talking about it.
Yeah, no, you host a podcast. So I'm giving it a toast. I think it's sweet. I think it's nice. I think it's tender. And I like Dan and all the other boys. Good for them. Good for them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But we're not the final word. You can go to at Christian Fun Pod, listeners, and give it a roast or a toast yourself. So get out there Pokemon go to the polls.
we did it, Joe.
I meant to put in the new job, Caroline.
Yeah, I was waiting for the Biden job.
I'm sorry. No, yeah, I know. I need to do that.
Where he's like, economy.
It doesn't hurt anybody. Okay. All right. Now, listen, Jonathan, we're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles. We're turning the scents on. It's the last night of camp when you're a young Christian boy, Christian girl, Christian whatever. And we're not here to promote ourselves or our brand new debut novels that just came out. We're here to lift those things up to the Lord, including anything that we might have enjoyed in the secular culture recently. And we start with Caroline.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts every day online. I am online.
Extremely.
That is true. And I want to lift up a show I really enjoyed on Hulu called This Way Up. And it has Sharon Horgan from Catastrophe and Aisling Bea, who's just like a great comedian. And they play sisters and they're the stars of it. It's just so hilarious. It's just a great, great, great show. Very much recommend. Very pleasant.
Man, I love Sharon. Is this a new show from her? I'm not familiar with this.
It's an older one. Old show. Okay. Yeah. Really? I don't know if they even got a second season, but it's just great. Yeah.
I need to watch it. You and your Brits. Wait, she's not British, is she?
She's Irish.
Oh, she's Irish. Excuse me.
You know, close enough. Who cares?
Sorry. Yeah, shit. Shout out to our international listeners. Shout out to all our Peloton in Australia.
Shout out to Peloton.
Thanks, Caroline. We turn it to Jonathan.
Can I lift myself up?
Hell yeah. That's what you're going to do, sir.
Yes.
As long as you're lifting yourself up to the glory of God.
I'm going to literally lift myself up and lift up.
Yes.
No one can see, so I don't know why I'm holding it up.
I like it, though, with the cover.
It is called Yes, Daddy. It is in bookstores. It's wherever you buy your books, you can get this book. I recommend going to an indie bookstore.
Ooh.
It is about a young man who comes from an evangelical background, as I hinted.
Yeah.
He is young. He's broke. He's living in New York City. He falls in love with a much older, wealthy, famous writer who takes him to a lavish Hamptons compound for the summer where things take a dark and terrifying turn.
Ooh, this book sounds sexy.
Hey, y'all, stab, stab, it's me, Amy Grant.
I like it. Yes.
As we mentioned at the very beginning, the twist at the end is that Amy Grant is the killer.
Turns out I'm daddy.
What? You're daddy?
Oh, my God.
What's something you watched recently that you really enjoyed that you might want to...
I love I May Destroy You. I don't know
Ooh,
if
of
you...
Of course.
Seen that.
Oh, yeah.
On HBO, it deals with sexual assault in one of the most nuanced, brilliant ways I've seen, I think, ever on camera. Sure. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Love it, and it's also it's funny. It's smart. It's one of my fave things in recent mem.
Oh, Jonathan, mm-hmm. You and your Brits. She's British, right? She
I
has
watched
an
the
accent.
Whole thing. It's set in London, and I'm like, oh, Boston?
Terrific. Thank you, Jonathan. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter on Peloton, the social networking platform Peloton, where you can follow each other. You
slash nation state.
Yeah. I'll lift up Hacks on HBO Max. Hacks on Max.
Hacks is so good.
Love
oh
Hacks.
My God.
Oh my God. Jean Smart.
Jean National Smart is Party. One of Kevin's women, always and forever.
Jean Smart at like her best, I think, honestly.
Yes.
Yeah. The Smartisons. Yeah. It's been happening for the last 2 years. We're very
Watchmen, now this. The
lucky
Smartisons.
Lucky to see it. Mayor of Easttown, my literal freaking graphic that I have my avatar for Zoom. Yeah, watch that. And then you can lift us up everywhere at Christian Fun Pod. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We donate $1 to charity for every review you leave. This month's charity is Rain with two N's. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us on the show, bud. What a fun time.
Thank you for having
me. And happy birthday, dude.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I'm sorry this is how you spent your birthday.
Go get a cake. Go
I love
relax.
That. No, I'm about to go stuff my face with Italian food.
Yay! A dream.
Hell yes.
That's the truth.
Hell yeah. Yes. All right, then we'll let you get to it. And there's nothing left to say except for an off pot's people said amen. And then let's go out, of course, with the epic clapapella cover.
Clap forward.
There we go. Oh, the claps came back. Tale of Zola's time, the clap came back. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.